1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. On the Tuesday edition of the program, spring training is in session. We have updates from Cubs and White Sox camp in just a moment, plus a brand new interview today with Dave Bennett. He's the sports director at WGN Radio and the voice of Northwestern Athletics. We talk with him about Northwestern and their basketball season, the Big Ten tournament, March Madness, some Cubs and White Sox news, plus his amazing career in sports media. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Today's show is brought to you by State Farm agent Ryan McDevitt. Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, save an average of $889. State Farm agent Ryan McDevitt ready to help you combine home and auto and save in Chicago and the surrounding suburbs. Call Ryan today at 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or visit his website, ryanismyagent.com. That's ryanismyagent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I want to start today with this. The word parody is always associated with the NFL, right? Every year, new teams are up and different teams are down. And the next year, everything reverses. The NFL is arguably the league with the most parity in all of sports. The Chicago baseball scene is quite similar. Think about it. Every year, one team's up, the other's down. And that flips all the time. Very rarely are both teams good at the same time. Wonder why that is. I mean, the Cubs were great in 2003. Sox weren't. 2005, White Sox win the World Series and the Cubs don't even make the playoffs. 2008, they both get in. Nothing happens. 2016, Cubs win the World Series. Sox are rebuilding. And now 2021. The Sox are World Series contenders again, and the Cubs will be lucky if they finish over 500. Spring training has started up for both teams in Arizona. The White Sox have a lot of optimism and promise surrounding their team. The Cubs, many questions. Many questions. I do want to amend my stance on the Cubs a bit before we get to the White Sox. I've been saying that this team is going to do nothing, that they should rebuild, tear it down, and start from scratch. They haven't done that yet. Hope they will. But for those who thought the Cubs would do nothing this year, I think many people are going to be in for a surprise. This lineup, 1-8, on paper, pretty darn good. Happ, Rizzo, Brian Contreras, Jock Peterson, raw power, but still, Baez, Jason Hayward, and Nico Horner. There are, without question, many worse lineups in baseball. It's a great lineup on paper. It's just a matter of execution. For example, what's Jock Peterson going to do here? Will he be the Jock Peterson of old, 240 batting average, 30 home runs, decent defense? Or will he be last year's Jock Peterson, 190 batting average, OPS plus, under 100? Will Javi Baez bounce back? Will Chris Bryant finally be his 2016 MVP self? I doubt that, by the way. Is Ian Happ an MVP candidate? A lot of questions. They remind me of the Yankees. Recently, every year, the Yankees always have questions about pitching. The Cubs do too. We'll get to that in a second. It's always a high-risk, high-reward scenario. The Yankees, every year, could have three Cy Young Award contenders or three guys who get hurt 10 games in, and then they're scrambling. Every year it happens to them. And it always confuses me because they never do anything about it. Ever. They stick with what they have. I don't get it. Cubs are in the same boat. Offensively and defensively. And pitching. The Cubs have decided to stick to their guns. They kept Bryant. They kept Baez. Contreras. All those guys tied to trade rumors. They said, you know what? We'll give it one last hurrah. Fine. I don't recommend it, but fine. You want to put your team behind another year? So be it. But the question is still, will these guys perform? Realistically, this lineup could produce a 95-win team. It could also produce an 80-win team. Depends on how everybody performs. That's the really scary part of this team. We don't know. We do know they're not World Series contenders, no matter what. And I've always thought to myself, well, if you know you're in that boat, why even try? What's there to play for? The World Series is supposedly the ultimate goal. You know you're not going there. So why waste your time? Why create false hope to yourselves, to your fans, to the media? Why not just come out and say, you know what? We're not a contender. Might as well start rebuilding today. The rotation after Kyle Hendricks is a mess. Lots of guys who could be great, but also those same guys could be jokes and busts for this team. Everyone's so excited about Jake Arrieta. Don't you remember 2015? I do. No. How about we remember last season, the year before, what he did in Philadelphia, why the Cubs didn't re-sign him after 2016? There's a reason. If they really loved him, if they thought he'd be great, they would have re-signed him. There's a reason why the Cubs let him go. Now he's back because they're desperate for innings. Simple as that. He'll eat up innings. He might have a 5 ERA, but the Cubs just need a guy. Like when they signed Edwin Jackson. Remember that? Probably one of the worst moves that Theo Epstein's ever made. 2013, pay him a lot of money. They needed somebody to put fans in the stands, and it was a colossal mistake. But he had innings, and for a second, people cared. Same thing with Jake Arrieta. Publicity stunt. That's it. All the days. Just a publicity stunt. To get people excited, to get people thinking, oh, this might be 2016 again. I'm going to have to go watch. Smart move. I give him credit. He won't do anything, though. Zach Davies, Alec Mills, Trevor Williams, Adbert Alzolay. There's a common theme in the Cubs' rotation. No one could hit 90 miles per hour. So no strikeouts. Pitch to contact. And a high reliance on the defense. Now, I like that. The problem is, when every single pitcher does it, eventually, other teams will catch up. So you'd be different if you had two guys like that. Three flamethrowers, two pitch-to-contact guys, it'd be great. Every team in a 3-4-game series would be off balance. When every single pitcher you face is topping out at 90, that's going to be a problem. It's going to be an issue for this team. No one wants to say anything. No one sees it yet. I know it. It's coming. And remember, if that's where you top out at, you better have outstanding control. If you don't, you're going to get lit up. Now, of all those pitchers, the only one I know for a fact who has great control is Hendricks. Arrieta doesn't. Not anymore. Davies, Mills, Williams, Alzolay, all of them are unproven. And none of them can match the success that Hendricks had in the MLB. That's a fact. Too many question marks for the Cubs. Too many unresolved issues. They could be, if everything goes according to plan, a 90-95 win team. If everything goes wrong, they could only win 80 games. And that's being generous, by the way. For the White Sox, it's completely different. They're ready. They're ready right now. It'd be a disappointment if they don't make the ALCS. Let's be honest here. It'd be disappointing if they didn't go anywhere in the playoffs. There's too much talent and too much hype on this team. Their lineup, one of the best in baseball. Anderson. Adam Eaton's back. Grandal, Abreu, Jimenez, Moncada, Robert, Nick Madrigal, Adam Engel. Pretty darn good lineup. Rotation. Giolito, Keuchel, Lynn. Bam. There's your postseason rotation. We all remember last year, Game 3 against the A's. Rick Renteria didn't know what to do, made it a bullpen day. Say what you want about Renteria, but the fact is, who was he going to throw? No personnel. No capable number 3 starter for that team last year. Now, they have 3 solid guys. 4-5 right now projected is Dylan Cease and Carlos Rodon, but Michael Kopech's supposed to start. Reynaldo Lopez is back. Someone's going to have to go to the bullpen, and that's an okay problem to have. That's insurance. And if one of those guys can't perform in the rotation early, you could swap them out, and everything will be okay. Now, here's a team with legitimate depth. A team with no question marks, no worries, no wondering, could they win 95 games or 80? We don't know. No. Everyone knows what the White Sox are capable of. At this point, it's just execution. It's perfunctory. We all know what's going to happen. Just a matter of coming through. That's exciting. White Sox fans should be excited about this team. That's why I said to open this show, parody. The Chicago baseball scene has too much parody. 1 year, the Cubs are on top of the world. The next, they're on the downturn. And the White Sox are back. That's what's happening. The Cubs could win 90 games. They could also lose 90 games, realistically. The White Sox are, without question, World Series contenders. And I'll argue, if they don't go to the ALCS, it's a failed season. at least. If they can't get past round one, that's a problem. There's been too much time and a little bit of money invested in what they're trying to do. It's time to perform. Time to execute. Time to get the job done. I'm sorry. The Cubs have way too many questions. You've got five starters who all top out at 90. That isn't going to work. You've got a lineup on paper, which is good, but guys who last year and in years past couldn't perform. You've got morale going down a bit. No one, I guarantee you, no one on that team expects a World Series this year. They'd be happy if they get into the postseason. That itself is a stretch. Think about the directions of both of these teams. They couldn't be more opposite. One has depth. One has no questions. One has high expectations. The other is on the downturn, has too many questions that need answers, and we'll be lucky if they make the playoffs. That's parity. That's more parity than the NFL. Because just a few years ago, two or three, really, it couldn't have been more different. The Cubs were poised to repeat as champions. The White Sox were stuck rebuilding in the cellar. No hope. Now look, say what you want about the Cubs. They're closer to rebuilding than people think. And after this year, when everyone's contracts are finally expired, that's it. It's over. The Sox are just getting started. And if you're a fan, you have to be excited. You have to be ready for this. Get used to winning. Feels pretty good. These two teams are polar opposites right now. Questions befuddle the Cubs. They signed Jake Arrieta as a PR stunt. Who cares? 1-9 in their lineup, on paper, is great, but has many questions. The rotation, besides Kyle Hendricks, is totally up in the air. The White Sox have one of the best lineups in baseball and have three great starters at the top. Come the postseason, we all know who's starting game 1, 2, and 3. And then 4, 5, 6, and 7. Pretty apparent. That's it. No bullpen days. No game 3. I don't know who's going to pitch. Everyone knows. The Sox are playing the long game. They're ready today for the postseason. The Cubs couldn't be further from that conclusion. The tides are shifting. Shifting again here in Chicago. And at this point, the only question is, which side are you on? Are you the happy fan? Is your team finally on the up and up, the White Sox? Or are you holding out false hope and believing what they want you to believe about the Cubs? It's that simple. One side or the other, got to be on one. For Sox fans, have a great season. You're going to love it. Get used to winning. This is just the beginning. For the Cubs, enjoy the last hurrah. I mean, what else do you want me to tell you? It's pretty apparent that your team is going down. When your five starters can't even hit 90 miles per hour in the MLB in 2021, there's a problem. And I could only hope that fans of both sides recognize where they are. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Dave Bennett comes up next, so stay tuned. Hey, do you want to make some money this weekend? What if I told you I could offer you $253 to bet on any game you want? Here's what you have to do. Go to sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. You must be 21 plus. You must be an Illinois resident. You can bet $250 free on any game you want for this upcoming season. March Madness is coming up. The Bulls are playing. Blackhawks, NHL are going on too. This is, without question, a great time to put down some money and win a whole lot more back. At sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. You have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Talk Chicago, here with John Zagluel, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's the sports director at WGN Radio and the voice of Northwestern Athletics. Please welcome Dave Bennett to the program. Dave, it's great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing great, John. Good to be back with you.
So, Dave, how would you characterize Northwestern's basketball season?
Well, I'd say it's a mixed bag. It's been, in some ways, there have been signs of progress, no question about that. Obviously, tinged with disappointment and a long losing streak. But I would say that overall, I think even though they didn't get the results ultimately they hoped for, that maybe they thought they were going to get back when they started off pretty well back in December, I think they feel like they did make some steps, and the fact that they were able to kind of right at the end win a few games and maybe take a little momentum with them down to Indianapolis for the conference tournament, I think gives them some hope. They knew they were going to be young this year, no seniors on this team. And I think at times that they, you know, kind of looked like a team that when clutch situations, late in games where they kind of needed that experienced voice to sort of help them through the rough spots. And you know, but it's all part of the process, right? You gotta learn, and hopefully they've learned from it.
What changed to your knowledge after the Ohio State win early on?
Well, the schedule, for one thing. Even though Ohio State turned out to be a really good team and a team that's been ranked as high as the top 4 or 5 in the country. At the time, they were a top 25 team, but they were a little inconsistent at the time and had a couple of injuries. And I think they got better as the year went on. But then what happened after that game, they played back-to-back road games at Iowa and Michigan. And I think that Iowa was highly motivated for that game. And certainly Northwestern had just gotten into the top 25, is getting everybody's attention. Then they go to Michigan. And it's interesting, John, it was the first time that Northwestern and Iowa and Northwestern and Michigan had ever played each other when both teams were ranked.
Really?
And so, yeah, which is, you know, one of those kind of fluky things. Obviously, Northwestern hasn't been ranked all that often, but they went into Michigan. I think people were still kind of wondering how good that Michigan team was. And they found out the hard way that Michigan, like the rest of the Big Ten found out, Michigan's really good. So is Iowa. And I think that maybe there was a little bit of a loss of confidence there after those two games. But I think the game that I look back on as having really been a sort of a pivotal moment for them that might have been the point that could have turned their season back around was the Illinois game in Evanston. And that was the game in which they dominated the last few minutes of the first half, grabbed a 16-point lead, led by 15 at halftime. And then I don't know what Brad Underwood said at halftime, but that was a much, much different Illinois team in the second half. Northwestern had no answer and only made 2 field goals after halftime. And I think that really, I think, was a setback for them, because I think they had a hard time letting that game go.
I'm curious, how do you deal with a 13-game losing streak as a broadcaster? What got you through it?
Well, I've called a few. I would say that. Yeah, maybe not 13, but certainly around there. And I don't mean to make light of it, because it's agonizing for the guys who are going through it, the coaches and players. But, you know, it's one of those things where And oddly, not being in the arena for a lot of those because we were doing the games remotely, in this case, you get a little bit detached from it. Whereas when you're riding the buses and riding the planes with the team, you see how hard close up guys are affected. And look, I haven't had really any personal contact with the coaches or the players all season. It's been all virtual. So you're a little bit removed from it, but it's tough. But you just look, it's still, and the fact is most of these games, they were still in the game.
Right.
A lot of them, they hung around. They just couldn't find a way to get the win. So you just sort of rely on experience and rely on having called some tough games in the past and talk about what's happening on the court. And, you know, most of the time, John, that's what happens. The game is going to dictate what you talk about and the theme of the broadcast.
What's a realistic finish for Northwestern in the Big Ten tournament?
Well, they have Minnesota first. There they go in as the 12th seed, which actually they improved their seeding a little bit over the weekend. Penn State's the 11th seed, and even before their win over Maryland, they own the tiebreaker on the Wildcats. They finished tied. But then Minnesota, they had the same number of wins, but a winning percentage was the tiebreaker, and so the Wildcats are the 12th seed. And look, Minnesota has really struggled. Now, everybody starts fresh, and that's, of course, what you always hear going into a conference tournament. But Minnesota's lost 7 straight games. A lot of speculation about the future of Richard Pitino with that program. And they've had a couple key injuries, which I think are a big reason they had this losing streak with their big man, Liam Robbins, and also Gabe Kalscher. So I haven't heard lately what their status is. It seemed like Kalscher in particular was not expected back for the tournament. Not sure about Robbins. They didn't play on Saturday in their last game. But I think Northwestern can win that game, and then they go against Ohio State. Look, they beat Ohio State once, and they played them pretty tough in Columbus. So I wouldn't write that game off just yet. And again, you know, if you look at the bracket, they're not in a bracket where you look at it and say, boy, this is out of reach. This right. is something you can't do. Because if they were to beat the Buckeyes, they would go against Purdue. And I think Purdue is really good and probably, along with Michigan, really the most surprising team in the Big Ten this year, maybe even a little more so. But again, Northwestern played them tough in West Lafayette, and they tend to play pretty well against Purdue. So I think realistically for them to win a game or two down there would be the right ending and probably an appropriate ending and a ending that would give them some hope and a sign of progress looking towards next year when, you know, right now they get their whole team back for next season. Now, obviously in this day and age in college athletics, you never really know year to year who's going to be there and who's not with the transfer portal, the place to be. But, you know, I think if you look at it right now, they're bringing all these guys back. They got some good recruits coming in and they should take another big step next year.
Dave Bennett here on Sports Talk Chicago. Dave, how bizarre was it to broadcast during COVID?
Well, very much so. And I think I probably speak for all of my colleagues who've done this, that it took a lot of getting used to, starting in football stadiums without fans and continuing it with broadcasting from a studio, broadcasting from a basketball arena without fans, and then broadcasting from a studio for road games and calling the games off video monitors. I mean, it's something that I had done a little bit, John. I tasted a little bit because there have been times where for different broadcasts I've done for a WNBA game here or there, or a Big Ten Network did some games where you're in the studio calling it off the monitor. So I had done it a couple of times before, but never on a regular basis. And to go to a conference room that had been turned into a radio studio to do the games was sort of an odd experience. And especially because there are things that happen that you really can't prepare for because of the technical aspects of it that you're relying on, where you're not watching the event with the naked eye. You're watching it on a signal that's being transmitted to you from a long distance away. And so once in a while you lose video, or it's a blurry picture, or something happens, and it's a little tough to fill in the gaps, but you do the best you can.
What's the most challenging part, would you say, of broadcasting from a studio?
Well, I think that there are two things. First of all, you feel, and I kind of alluded to this before, you feel detached from it.
Right.
You feel like you're removed from the game. It's like you're watching a game on TV, and you don't feel the energy from the fans. Now, even if you're in the arena, you don't feel the energy from the fans, but at least you're in the building. You kind of have more of a sense. You see the whole court. You kind of get a feel for the way the game is going. If you're watching it off a monitor, a lot of the time you are at the whim of whoever is sending you that video signal. And I have to tell you, sometimes it's been great, but sometimes just because of the issues of transmission and whatnot, it can be challenging. For instance, we were doing a game from Penn State, and the picture kept freezing. So literally, John, the ball would be in the air. Like, a guy would be shooting a free throw, and the ball would be in midair, and the picture would freeze. And the next thing you know, it has jumped ahead to the two teams going the other way down the floor. So, you know, you're scrambling to try to figure out whether the shot was good or not. Now, you do have some technological advantages. For instance, I have a stat monitor, which via Wi-Fi, sometimes that's running ahead of the video picture. So I'll look at that, and that can be a good thing. That can be a blessing, but it could be a curse, because sometimes you look at it and it will have already counted a basket that you haven't seen yet. So you look at the score, and the score is not what you think it is. So, I mean, it's just little things like that that takes getting used to. And I talk a lot to my colleagues around the Big Ten about the challenges they faced. I've picked the brains of other broadcasters who've been through it. Jeff Joniak, the voice of the Bears, is a good friend. We talked a little bit during the fall about it. And it's, you know, there are just different things that you don't encounter when you're doing a game in the stadium or in the arena, but you have to roll with it. Look, I'm not about to complain, because there are a lot of people doing all kinds of jobs that have had to find new ways to get their work done and have had to deal with all kinds of challenges, much tougher than anything I've had to deal with this year.
How concerned are you about this becoming normal in the future?
Well, that's a concern. I mean, that certainly from a financial standpoint, obviously college athletics were faced with a lot of economic challenges, like all sports really this year, without fans. And you do worry a little bit, but I think the people in the sport, John, at least at the Big Ten level, at the major conference level, understand the importance of having their broadcasters on site. And look, if I had really jumped up and down and yelled and screamed, maybe I could have been at some of these games, but quite frankly, there's a risk involved there for me as well, and for the other people on my crew, that didn't seem worth taking. Now, hopefully that changes as we look towards football in the fall. I've gotten the vaccine. I think the other people on my crew have already. So perhaps that will change the circumstances involving our travel as we look towards the football season and then the basketball season. But I do worry a little bit about it, because we've shown you can pull it off.
Right.
You know? And that is a concern. But I honestly believe that the people in the sport and the people who make these decisions understand the importance of us being in the building to call these games and to be able to sense the crowd and get a feel for the game. And those are things you just can't do off a monitor.
Dave Bennett here on Sports Talk Chicago. Dave, are the White Sox World Series contenders this year?
Oh, I think absolutely they are. I say that with a tinge of caution because it seems like more often than not, every time we thought a team was a World Series contender around this town, and I've been covering sports here for a long time, hasn't necessarily worked out that way. You know, in 1984, the White Sox were coming off their AL West championship, the winning ugly season. And I think everybody sort of assumed they were going to win it in 84. They fell short. It was the Cubs in 84 who came out of nowhere and kind of captivated the city by winning the National League East. And then everyone assumed the Cubs would come back and win in 85, and they didn't. You know, so there is kind of that feeling when the hopes are set high, and understand this, I'd rather have the high expectations, John. I'd rather have people thinking, okay, this is a team that can contend for a World Series title. It's better to have that than to have, oh, well, here we are. Yeah, this is going to be a team. Maybe they can get a wild card if they catch lightning in a bottle. I'd much rather have the hopes where they are. And I think it's legit. I think you look at their lineup. I think you look at not only the pitching staff as it stands now, but you factor in the moves they've made to strengthen that staff over the last couple of years, starting last year with Keuchel and continuing with Lynn and then adding a terrific closer to the back end. And you already had a solid bullpen. So I think this is a team which I think should contend. But, you know, people have to remember they still have to overcome the Minnesota Twins in their division. The American League East has some pretty good teams, and there's some teams in the West that aren't exactly slouches either and have a pretty proven track record. You know, Oakland has been a pretty good team, even though they lost some guys from last year. So, you know, I think it's going to be a tough road for them, but I certainly think that they are legitimate World Series contenders.
Could their youth get in the way a bit, do you think?
Well, you know, I think sometimes youth can be a good thing because the guys don't necessarily know they're too young to win. And I think that was a big question going into last year. And there was a lot of talk about the importance, especially with a young team on a condensed schedule, on a 60-game schedule, that it would be really important for them to get off to a good start if they were going to win. And they did. And also, I think that having been through that, I think that youth, if anything, I think that it's youth with experience now. And I don't see youth being a big hindrance, even though it's a young team with a lot of young talent. I mean, it's young but experienced talent coming into the 2021 season.
What about the Cubs? Where are they right now to you?
I think they're kind of a big question mark. And I think I don't think the Cubs are going to fall off the edge of a cliff like a lot of people think or are concerned they might. Obviously, there are some issues. Can this pitching staff come together? You gave up one of your most dependable starting pitchers. And certainly, I think you know what to expect from Kyle Hendricks. You don't really know what to expect going into this season from Jake Arrieta. Now, hopefully, he can be what the Cubs hope he will be. Same with Trevor Williams, who I think might turn out to be okay. And Zach Davies, again, you know, these are kind of question marks, even though these guys have pitched in the majors and have a lot of experience. But I think there are some question marks there. Can Craig Kimbrell be the guy they hope he can be and that he maybe showed signs of towards the end of last year? I think they're going to score runs, and I don't think that's going to be that much of an issue for them. But the only thing that worries me, really, John, is it's a pretty tough division. You know, and so is this a team that now is playing for an NL Central title, or are they trying to come up with a wild card again? And, you know, because they're going to have a tough time with the teams in the NL Central. You look at this division, and the Cardinals and the Brewers and the Reds. I mean, it's not going to be an easy road for them. But again, I think that for them to win, to be a plus 500 team, I think is very reasonable to expect. And I think if you're in that conversation, you're going to be in the mix for a postseason spot. And, you know, I think you take your chances there.
More to come with Dave Bennett in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Dave Bennett, still here on Sports Talk Chicago. Dave, a few more questions before we finish up. First off, the most memorable baseball game you broadcasted is what?
You know what? I used to fill in for Pat Hughes once in a while on Cubs broadcasts. But I have to tell you, when I was filling in on those games, the Cubs weren't very good. The years I had them, I mean, I was literally I did games, John, in 2014. And that was the last time I did them. And of course, 2015, all of a sudden, they made it to the NLCS. But I think it was a series. Actually, I did a four-game series against the Mets in New York. I can't tell you, there was no walk-off hit. There was no dramatic moment. You know, I wish I could tell you I did a more a really memorable game, but most of the games I did, unfortunately, were pretty forgettable.
How about your favorite interview, coach or player? Who would that be?
My favorite interview. Well, you know what? It would be hard to say that he's not my favorite because I talk to him so much, and that would be Pat Fitzgerald. You know, because I've probably interviewed him more than I've interviewed anybody in my career over the years, both when he was a player and then when he was an assistant coach and certainly as a head coach. But, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the days when I used to do the post-game show on Bears Radio in 85 and would interview the players in the locker room. And the interviews with Walter Payton in the Bears locker room were always unforgettable because Walter, and I'm sure you've heard the legends and the stories, but Walter was fidgety. And so he wouldn't stand still for very long to do an interview. And when he was standing still, he would generally be grabbing you in a way that today would be termed inappropriate or punching you. Or in some other way, trying to disrupt your train of thought. Always amusing, always entertaining, and you know, really, when you get right down to it, even though he loved to have fun with the media, he was a good man who would tell you how he felt when you asked him the right question.
And Dave, before we finish up today, last question: what's the award or honor you're most proud of in your career?
The award or honor I'm most proud of. You know what? I think the honor I have to be most proud of, John, and I have been fortunate. You know, I don't I don't like to talk about awards or honors much, but this was one that when I finished or when I got to my 25th year broadcasting Northwestern football at halftime of the season opener, Jim Phillips, the athletic director, grabbed a microphone down on the field and we were doing an interview at halftime. I was in the booth. He was in the field. And he said, Dave, look around behind you in the booth. And they had put a plaque on the door and named the radio booth in Ryan Field after me. And that blew me away. I had absolutely no idea that it was happening. And I'd have to say, of honors or awards I've received, that's the one of which I'm most proud.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for joining me. Always a pleasure to have you on, and best wishes as the Big Ten tournament ramps up. Hope to do this again soon. Thank you so much.
John, anytime. You always ask great questions. Always good talking to you, and continue the great work.
Great talk there with Dave Bennett, and that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Dave Bennett himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTalman, Tomorrow Entertainment, for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zaglewal. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No! Never the turtle!